The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to him, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, weakness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, let us pray. Loving Lord, be in my words and in all our hearts this day, and form us ever more and more to live according to your word and the life and love you revealed in us, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. From our first reading, James says, "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves." And as we heard, St. James then uses that wonderful image of a person looking in a mirror who, when they turn away, immediately forgets what they saw, and then says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." And I want us to think this morning about how we become doers of the word and how we practice a religion that is pure and undefiled. I want to talk about how these things concern, very simply, our normal daily living, and how they give us the opportunity to live holy lives and to become God's holy people. But I want to start with Jesus' presentation in our gospel of a form of religion which he argues is mere appearance and observance and not a faithful way of living, and not a way to become holy and to live as God's holy people. So as we just heard in our gospel reading, Jesus says, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile." And we missed out the next bit. It's not set for the gospel today, but the next phrase is where he says, "For it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer." And then we heard it continues, "But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is obviously forceful language, and it is difficult to hear this reading. And I want to make a modern comparison. Last Sunday morning, the BBC broadcast an interview with an abuse survivor from Ireland called Father Patrick McLafferty. And Father McLafferty had met the Pope the evening before, along with seven other abuse survivors. And he described the meeting like this. He said, "People spoke to him very honestly. He spoke back very honestly also, and there was a very natural, normal conversation. There were eight of us together, and we were all representing different aspects of this tragedy in the church's life, the mothers and babies, the institutional abuse, the laundries, as well as the clerical abuse." Previously, Father McLafferty had said publicly he was opposed to the Pope's visit. He described it like this. He said, "I spoke to my people and I said, I don't think the Pope should come. And my congregation applauded." And he told the Pope as much when he met him. And the Pope laughed. And Father McLafferty said to him, "But I told him, I was glad that he had come." Now, it is clear from what Father McLafferty says that the conversation the Pope had with these abuse survivors was specific. It dealt in detail with specific and awful cases of abuse, some of which have been broadcast around the world in recent weeks and months. And in response, it is clear that Pope Francis used language as graphic as Jesus in today's gospel to talk about the abuse perpetrated and covered up by church representatives and organizations. Because Father McLafferty went on to say this, "The Pope was speaking as he would speak, as a human being. And he was addressing a terrible reality. And he described it as filth. The Pope used an even more graphic way of describing it. And it was language that was very clear." I think we can imagine what word or words the Pope might have used in an even more graphic way. Jesus made a similar reference in the passage from Mark chapter 6, which we've just heard excerpts read from. What would we add to Jesus' list of the things that defile people? Certainly, abuse of vulnerable people, abuse of anyone, sexual or otherwise, defiles the person perpetrating the abuse. And certainly, covering up that abuse to protect the majesty of a human institution defiles the individuals involved and defiles the institution. There are many different things going on in our world today which we will all be able to think of, which are examples of the ways in which people defile themselves by the stupidity and the cruelty and the thoughtlessness and the selfishness and the greed of what they do. But that is not what I actually really want to talk about. What I really want to talk about is exactly the opposite. I want to talk about the effects of behaving well, which Jesus implies very clearly in what he says in our gospel, and which James addresses explicitly. What I really want to talk about is the way in which people purify themselves. I want to talk about the way in which children and women and men everywhere do holy and lovely things, and so make themselves holy and lovely people, living holy and lovely lives. I want to speak about the insights and the kindnesses, the thoughtfulness and the selflessness and the generosity that make human lives worth living. There is a very real sense in which we have an opportunity as people to make ourselves into the people we should be or the people we are called to be. We have very real choices, very real freedom. We have what people call free will. I'm very impatient, I'm afraid, with speculation about our free will ability. You sometimes hear it in the popular scientific press. Speculation about our free will ability, about arguments that we are somehow not free to make choices because we're determined or directed by evolution or our genes or something to live or think in a certain way. Of course, there are givens in our lives, things we have no choice over. But we have choices about what we do with those givens. We can choose to be generous or not. We can choose to be kind or not. We can choose to help orphans and widows and to try our best to be unstained by the world, in James's words, or not. It seems completely obvious to me that scientific discovery which is something individuals do because they choose to, absolutely requires us to have a genuine free will. And on this basis, we must choose what to do each day and with our lives and in situations of temptation and in situations of difficulty. So we make our choices. We choose what to do in each situation, changing how things are in our world by the way we act, but changing ourselves at the same time. Sometimes we realize that we need to understand better how best to act, so we choose to inform ourselves better. Sometimes we realize that we need to change the way that whole organizations like the church operate to enable the right choices to be made, hence safeguarding policies, hence anti-harassment and anti-bullying codes, hence anti-discrimination legislations. These choices, whether they are personal choices or organizational choices, aren't just an attitude we take for a moment or a pose. They are something real that we do, and they affect who we are. They are, you could say, corporate things. They are corporate for individuals. They're about our body. They're about the shape of our physical and mental being. And they're corporate for organizations. They shape who we actually are as a community, as a nation, and as a church. So we are formed by our actions, and of course we're also formed by the actions done to us. But more important there is our response to what people do to us or say to us. Every loving action, every loving response makes us more loving and more lovely. Every generous and thoughtful act and every act of gratitude makes us more people who understand the ways in which we depend on others and the good we can do for others, and makes us more ready to act generously and thoughtfully. Every little act of forgiveness and understanding expands our personality and builds us as people who realize, who make real in our own lives God's image in us more richly and more fully every day. And this is what we are being when we are loving or giving or thinking or being grateful or understanding or forgiving. We are becoming more Christ-like. We are realizing more fully God's image in us. We are becoming more holy. These aren't just things we do. They change how we are and who we are. So in this way, we build our lives. We build our souls, in fact. The soul isn't something given us at conception or birth, complete and whole. It's something we build from the beginning, but that changes and develops and evolves through time. It's up to us how that evolution goes, how we develop, how we change, who we become. Classically, it's said the soul is the form of a life, the four-dimensional space and time form of a life, stretching back to our beginning, and for Christians, back beyond our own beginnings, to the beginning of the church and the first disciples and apostles. And before that, through all the things that we have inherited from our tradition, deep, deep into the depths of the history of humankind, mainly the image of God to the beginning of all things. In our first reading, James is pointing out that making the right choices as we live our lives, everyday choices, everyday acts of kindness and generosity and love, will make us what he calls a kind of first fruits of God's creatures, will give us the right kind of soul. And Jesus is saying in our gospel that that is actually all that really matters. Amen.